we're going to go to John chapter 20 and verse 5. Got everybody here? All right. Now, today we celebrate what? The what? The resurrection of Jesus. Okay. Now, I'm going to read you a little bit here in the Bible of two guys who ran to the tomb. You know who the two people who ran to the tomb were? Anybody know? It was Peter and John. Okay? So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb, and both of them were running together, but the other disciple, that would be John, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. All right? Now, here's the deal. Some of the scriptures say that the linen cloths, well, let me read a little more. Well, were folded neatly. Now, y'all remember Jesus has been buried, right? I'm going to get down here. Y'all are too short. Okay, Jesus has been buried. And the way that they buried people in those days is they would put them in a grave, sometime like a cave, or sometimes some people couldn't afford anything, so they wound up in a trash heap. But what they did before they put them in the grave was they wrapped them in cloth, right? And they had a special cloth that they put on their face, apparently. So when Peter and John got there, they looked in the tomb and they saw the clothes there, you might say, but no Jesus, right? And it says that the wrapping that was for his head was laid aside and it was neatly folded. Okay? Say this was the what he had on his face, you know, as they laid him in there. How do you think that thing got folded? What do you think? You think his mother came, Mary, and snuck in after he was resurrected and neatly folded up that cover that had been on his face? The answer is no. No way. Okay? So what did happen? I'll tell you what happened. Jesus came to life. He had been thoroughly dead. Y'all ever seen something that was dead? You ever seen a dead rabbit or a dead deer? Yeah. Yeah. They don't. Dead. Ooh, good eating, huh? Yeah. Well, those things that are dead don't get better, do they? I mean, they get good to eat, but they don't get well. Okay. Yeah. So. Oh, that's bad. That's bad.
Right, so that's why we throw them over the fence.
That's what you do with the baby rabbits. You don't bury them. You throw them over the fence. Okay, now. So here we have Jesus has been very dead as anything you have ever seen. Okay? He's really dead. He's not just asleep. But that was on Friday. Remember, we just saw the little video. That was Friday. They put him in that tomb, and he was dead. But on Sunday morning, they went to check on that tomb, and because they were going to fix him up better for his eternity, you know, what they thought was where his body was going to be forever. And they got there, and Jesus wasn't in the tomb. And what they saw, and what I want to tell you here, is that when Jesus was made well, when Jesus came back to life, he wasn't made well. He was dead, and then he was alive. And when he came back to life, it wasn't a shock to him. It wasn't something that you know, like waking up. Did y'all wake up good? When you wake up in the morning, you ready to jump up and face the day? Some people are. Some people are like that, ready to face the day. Some people are married to someone like that, and they're not that way. But Jesus, when he came back to life now, Jesus was perfectly well, and He wasn't surprised. He wasn't groggy. He wasn't like he dragged out of the tomb or anything. I'm telling you, he stood up and he took care of business. And he, in effect, he made up his bed. Now, we have a rule in our house that you don't leave the bedroom until the bed is made up. Because that's how you start your day. You know, that's how you finish That's how you finish sleeping. You make up your bed. That's what Jesus did. He didn't leave anything undone. When he died on the cross, he paid for all of our sins. He didn't leave any sin unpaid for. Even though you and I hadn't even lived and messed up yet, he paid for our sins as well. And he did it completely and he did it perfectly. And one of the pictures of how well he did was that cloth that once covered his face. He got up and he folded it neatly. And he walked out of the tomb like he owned it. Because he does. He owns everything. He is in control. He does everything right. He does everything completely. And he offers to save anyone who would come to him. And he will save us perfectly. And he will save us completely and forever. So when you understand that you have sinned, that you are a sinner, and that separates you from God, and you desire to come to Jesus as your Savior, you can pray a prayer something like, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that you cannot relate to sin, but Jesus paid for my sin on the cross, and he showed that he completed that work perfectly by raising from the dead and even leaving that grave neat. That's how perfect Jesus is. And he will save you perfectly when you ask him to. All right? But today, we celebrate the fact that he is risen. All right? Good deal. Thank y'all. Y'all sure are good kids. All right, would y'all, the rest of us, would we, anybody, everybody, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, actually, we at First Baptist Church celebrate the resurrection every first day of the week. Every Sunday, we celebrate the fact that Jesus is risen. But once a year, close to the time of Passover, we celebrate that particular day, that day after the Passover, couple of days after the Passover, when he had paid that penalty that the Passover lamb had represented for millennia, and he paid for our sin. Now, the Passover lamb never paid for anything. The Passover lamb just was something that represented a covering. And actually, I spoke to a Jewish fellow one time, and somehow we got around to Easter, and I said something about we celebrate, instead of the Passover, we celebrate what the Passover represented, which was forgiveness of sin. And he said that's not true. He said the Passover did not represent the forgiveness of sin. It represented freedom from slavery. Do you understand that is what the forgiveness of sin is? It is freedom from slavery. Because until we become new creations in Jesus Christ, we are all slaves to sin. But today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and that proof of his victory over sin, death, and the grave. So I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 3. And Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture. And he appeared to Cephas and to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once. Most of them are still alive, though some of them have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." That's what Paul writes. So, he says, "I am writing to you what is the most important thing? I delivered to you the thing that was most important. And what I delivered to you, I delivered to those who have trusted in Christ, or those who have looked to Christ for salvation. Paul was the one who was speaking, and he was the one in Romans. He describes himself this way: Paul, a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. So Paul is, like us, one who has been saved, who had been saved by Christ. We're not apostles. Paul had authority that we don't have, but he was set apart by Christ. He was chosen to do what Christ, continue what Jesus began to do, according to Luke in chapter Acts. In the book of Acts, he said, "I'm writing to you, O Theophilus, in my former treatise, the things that Jesus began to do." And then in the book of Acts, he wrote out and described the things that Jesus continued to do, even though he was no longer walking the earth, except for a little bit in that first chapter. But the things that Jesus continued to do, he continued to do through those who had put their trust in him and had been made alive by his Spirit that was made possible by his resurrection. So he is writing to us. He is writing of the gospel of God that belonged to him and to us. It's the good news. It was what had been promised beforehand by the prophets and the Holy Scripture. It described Jesus as that descendant of David that the Old Testament talked about, who would rule. The Scripture talked about holy life, how to live, and how Jesus makes that possible by his blood shed on the cross and his resurrection that completed that. And he lists here in Corinthians 15 the list of people who saw the risen Lord, saw him physically, maybe even touched him. But they didn't have any more, they were no more saved than you and I are who have put our trust in Jesus Christ. And so we celebrate on Resurrection Day. We call it Easter. That name kind of makes me cringe, except because of its roots. But nobody knows its roots, and everybody who talks about Easter is talking about Resurrection Day now, pretty much. So it's okay. We can use the word. But we celebrate Easter, all that came to pass because of his obedience to the Father, because of his love for us, because God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. And so we celebrate second chances. As Paul's writing here, he said, "I'm telling you the most important things, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture." So he's telling us about our second chances. And as we read the Scripture, we hear that Jesus is the Savior and the one who offers second chances. You remember Paul, the writer here. Paul certainly knew about second chances. Paul began as we recognize him, find him in the Scripture, he began trying to serve God with all his heart. He was fervently pursuing people who were worshiping someone who claimed to be God when he knew there was only one God. And it was sinful and blasphemy for anyone to call themselves God, and Jesus did call himself God. And so Paul was going after anyone who would follow Jesus. But God loved Paul so much that he gave him a second chance. And as Paul was pursuing this life of that he thought was right, was the right thing for. Now, I doubt there's anybody alive today that's pursuing. Well, in our part of the world, there's nobody who's pursuing and persecuting people who are Christians. There are certainly people around the world who do. But there's probably nobody who's persecuting Christians and sees that as their calling from God in our part of the world. But there are people who have other things that they think are the most important thing. You know, that someone taught them, or they read, or they looked at the world and said, this is my philosophy, this is the most important thing, and this is the thing that I'm going to focus everything I have on. And it may be earning money, it may be becoming famous, it may be being tough, maybe being beautiful, maybe driving fast. But that's the center of our life. But God loved Paul so much that he gave him a second chance. And God stopped him in his tracks as he was pursuing that goal that he thought was his calling from God and his duty and what he was created for. And God showed him, Jesus actually spoke to him and he said, I am the one you persecute. I'm the one that you are running from, and I invite you to come to me. And he does that for us as well. Now, another example of those second chances would be Peter. Remember, Peter denied Jesus three times after following him for 3 years and learning all about him, and then sure that he would stand up for him. And Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. Peter said, no way, you don't know who you're talking to. But three times before the cock crowed, Peter denied Christ. And so Jesus came to him, and after his resurrection at the seaside where Peter had been fishing, and he said, Peter, let's sit down here together. Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. You know me. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know everything. You know. Peter, do you love me? And every time Peter said, yeah, he said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Third time, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. And then Jesus said to him, Peter, feed my sheep. And Peter became the leader of the church, of Christianity, really, for that first part there in Acts and following. God gives second chances. The resurrection represents that God-giving second chances. And so we celebrate that Jesus is raised. We celebrate that Jesus gives second chances. We celebrate that Jesus will receive as many as come to him. We celebrate that the resurrection is sure. If we will read on down in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 20 is a good one because it says there, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruit of all who have fallen asleep. Now, some people say it's not important to believe, you know, to believe that all these things actually happen. Maybe they're just kind of a story to talk about God giving us second chances to start over. And you can believe what you want to as long as you believe in God, and God is whatever makes you feel good, and God is whatever is good to people around you. Paul says, before he said that, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He says in verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. So that means that he's been raised from the dead, and when we follow him, we will likewise be raised from the dead of these bodies. And one day we'll get new ones as well. He was resurrected as a first fruit. And the first fruits, interesting thing, is after the Passover, there was a feast of unleavened breads, and then the feast of the first fruits. And for the Feast of the First Fruits, there was no sacrifice offered because the Passover represented having already been set free. So Jesus, that Passover lamb, after his sacrifice for us, after it was proven that it was accepted by raising him from the dead, There is no more sacrifices necessary because he's done everything that is necessary. He is the first of the harvest of the new life and will be part of that fruit of fruit. And so, speaking of second chances, Jesus gives us a second chance, gives you a second chance. If there's never been a time in your life when you have put your trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today is a second chance. Today is a chance to come to him. And he offered chances. We talked about Judas a while back when we were going through the disciples. And we saw that Jesus offered Judas right up to the time that Judas went out and turned him over to the Jews. Jesus reached out to him and offered him the opportunity to repent, but he refused it. There are others who refused it. Pilate, when he questioned Jesus, Jesus talked about truth, and Pilate said, "What is truth?" He wouldn't turn. How about the rich young ruler, remember, that came to Jesus? And Jesus said, "What do I need to do to inherit heaven?" He said, "Go ahead and give all your stuff away and come follow me." And the rich young ruler went away sad. Now, I don't know if the rich young ruler didn't come again later, but on that day, he rejected that offer of Jesus. And Judas was remorseful. He was so sad that he went out and hanged himself, but he didn't turn himself to Jesus. So, as we think about the resurrection, we celebrate what it makes possible, but what it calls us to is not to feel bad about our sin. Satan will make you feel bad about your sin, but Jesus can make you complete as he has forgiven your sins if you will accept that gift. And so what better way to celebrate the resurrection than to participate in being part of the fruit of the resurrection, to come today to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If there's not been a time in your life when you realize that you were a sinner like everyone else, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of God's expectation. That includes all of us. He says the penalty for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, because Jesus paid the debt for our sin. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sin. And so the offer is to come to him. Anyone who comes to him, he would in no wise cast out. And so he says, come, confess with your mouth that Jesus is raised from the dead, and believe in your heart that he's alive, and you will be saved. Today would be the greatest way to honor his resurrection. Would be the greatest thing that could happen on this resurrection day, would be for you to accept that gift of eternal life in Christ and pray a prayer something like this: Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sin. I can't understand all that, but I trust your word. I believe he paid for my sin. I believe that you are willing to save me. Take charge of my life. I'm sorry for the way that I have lived up to this point. I want to be different. I want to be a son and a daughter of you. I want to be yours and have a relationship with you. Save me. I ask it in Jesus' name, and I thank you.